Welcome back to Success Made Last Legend Series. I'm Rick Tocchini. Our show today is presented by Blinkist.com. It's micro-learning burst in 15 minutes with audios of over 3,000 nonfiction books. Hey, our special guest today is the one and only Doug Gray. He is the lead singer for the Marshall Tucker Band. Doug was born May 22nd, 1948, Spartanburg, South Carolina. With his high school mates, Gray and bassist Tommy Caldwell joined a band called The New Generation. They went over to Vietnam, served our country well, came back over and formed a new band called the Marshall Tucker Band that was named after a blind piano tuner who worked near the cotton mill city of Spartanburg. And Gray remained with his band for his entire career, and now he's the only original member still performing with the band today. Doug, it is truly an honor to have you on Success Made Last Legends. Welcome, sir.
Well, first of all, everybody knows that Tony and myself were Vietnam veterans, okay? And we came back, and we had been in bands prior to that in high school and stuff like that. So you're talking about a long time ago. Came back and just decided that we'd put our hearts in back into music and see if we had one last chance to do it. We had both cut records at different people and different times. But what we wanted to do is further the career of the band. And we didn't even have a name for it at the time that we got together. We didn't want to call it Toy Factory again. We didn't want to call it New Generation. We didn't want to call it anything stupid. But what we did is sitting around and at the rehearsal hall, and the rehearsal hall had a key, and the key was very exciting because people would just throw it around, okay? They'd throw the thing around, and we'd be getting drunk and having a good time and partying because, you know, it was 1970. It's, you know, it was 1969, 70, and 71 is when we started the band. But we didn't name it until after right at 70, 1971. And we just decided that we'd have a good time with it. And sure enough, somebody came through town, and this buyer who was a club owner decided that, hey, you know, you guys are all great. We like you. And different bands, we've been knowing you forever, and we want you to do this. We want to open this band up and at my club. And so when we said that, when he said that, we said, well, yeah, I guess we'll have to come up with a name. We told him to give us an hour. And so we were throwing that key around back and forth just as a joking thing. All of a sudden, somebody said, well, hell, let's just name the name on the key that let us in the door to the warehouse. And we didn't know it was a real person. We didn't have any clue. We didn't intend for it to be. And Marshall Tucker is still blind. He was a blind piano tuner that had used that place as a storage facility before we had it. So when we rented it, I think we paid $5 a month for it. And when we rented it, you know, the guy came back down and from the club said, okay, here we are. I need your name. Put it on the handbills, you know, and tell the radio station. Well, we said Marshall Tucker Band. And then we asked who the band was that we were going to be opening for, and it was Wet Willie, Jimmy Hall and Wet Willie, and the Allman Brothers. And I went, whoa, I guess we have to do a step-up job on this one, you know. First of all, Greg Allman was my favorite songwriter in the world and singer, you know. So, and he still is, even though he's gone. He's still one of the best Southern songwriters. Writers and singers that there was, an emotional person that I was lucky enough to be on tour and know him for some 40-something years, too. And we just got stronger and stronger, and I learned a whole lot from that period of time. But, you know, I was into music even when I was 7 years old. And I'd look at somebody and say, well, that's a good song. And then I'd copy that song, you know, and try to sing it the way that they were doing. And it was my mother and her two sisters would always pay me a nickel to go stand over next to the jukebox so I'd get away and they could pick up boys. Okay? That was what it was all about.
Oh.
And I'd go with it. Yeah, see, now there's always a reason behind the stuff, you know? And I learned to sing all of these songs. And I was in Spartanburg, South Carolina. We had a group called the Black Slacks. Okay, and it was, man, you couldn't have asked for a better band. They had been on the show, but their song was called Black Slacks. It was Sparkle Tones was the name of it. And this was early. They'd already been out and playing and stuff like that. So they went on the Ed Sullivan Show, and everybody watched them. So they were our heroes from Spartanburg, South Carolina. Now, as I sit here today, I'm looking out over Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and looking out over the beach and enjoying my part of life that I'm supposed to enjoy right now, but since this corona has thrown us for a loop. And the longest period of time I have ever had off, brother, in my entire career since I was probably 7 years old.
Wow.
I know. Who you telling? And my girlfriend keeps telling me, she said, you look crazy. And I pretty much succeeded in that part a long time ago. But she and I have been together for almost 10 years now. And it's you know what? You learn from other people and learn how they, you know, because I'm by no means ready to retire. We were at 300, almost 150 shows, going to be gone almost 200 dates, already Good. Booked. And, you know, of course, we lost Charlie, which was something he and I had been planning for 15 years. And that was the Fire on the Mountain tour. And unfortunately, we had to bury Charlie a few weeks ago. And that was devastating to all of us because Charlie was the guy that we never thought we would lose. Mm-hmm. We never even pictured that part. You know, we all were partiers and everybody was, and we all done crazy stuff. And, you know, you have respect for people because they can maintain. You know, it's not like a drunk maintaining driving down the road. You know, it's like they can maintain whatever they have to do whenever they have to do it. Charlie maintained a group and changed through people just like I had to do when Toy and Tom, when Tommy died first, and then Toy and then George. All these guys died, and people said, how in the hell did you band together? Well, we started out together, and we had one thing, one goal that we really, really wanted to do, but we didn't know that was a goal at that point in time. We knew that whatever we had to do, we wanted to stand on that stage and show people what we could do and see if they liked it. And sure enough, we started cutting a couple of two or three original songs like Can't You See and Fire on the Mountain, Heard It in Love Song, and stuff like that. There is some miserable sound and demos that's out there that we used to do of those songs. And then we went in with a producer and the whole building at Capricorn Records. But, I mean, we were learning and meeting and knowing Charlie the way we did. And you know, I've known Charlie for almost 50 years. That's a hell of a friendship, you know?
It sure is.
So you just don't have that opportunity to have those kind of things. I mean, sure, we weren't together every day, and we never spoke every time that we were together. We always would nod, walk by, he'd go headline, or we'd go headline, or whatever. It didn't matter because we were always on bigger shows or just shows that we did ourselves. So we'd have a ball. And the crews, I could tell you, I could get these. If you were to come down to Myrtle Beach, I put all these crews in two or three houses. The crew members from Charlie and us and the Wallman Brothers and Grinder Switch Band and all that stuff. Put those guys that's left, put them all in rooms, and you would laugh for the next 24 years. You know, that's how humorous the whole thing was. We never took ourselves seriously. Start taking yourself seriously. And my mother taught me that. She said with terminally ill people in their last dying days. And I said, Mom, how you do that? She says, you learn after a while to listen to them and pay attention to what they really want and how they really want it. Well, that's what Marshall Tucker Band does today on stage. We listen to what the people want to hear. And even if the whole band don't do it, I might remember it or remember two verses of it. And I'll get up here and I'll sing some of it. The people die. It's like, draw a number and let's see if he can pull it off, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's been working for us. It really has. And being disappointed as I am with, you know, losing Charlie and not being able to see a lot of those guys again, it's going to be hard. But at the same time, Charlie gave us the strength to go on.
That's right.
When
that's
he was sick or when he had his, yeah, that was him. But he was a man that stood up there, even though we all had our own faults, all of us. And we grew up, learned to do things together and keep going. And, you know, when we'd see each other, we'd come and talk. And when we'd be on the same show sometime with Charlie, always, we call it summoning me. They would call, come to the bus, Charlie wants to talk to you. And Charlie was just bored. He was bored, not because of the music. He was gonna kick butt on the music, okay. But he was just like I was. I mean, we'd seen a lot of it. We grew, we changed, we went from vans to buses and airplanes. Things got better and better for both of us, and we just looked at each other and said, "Man, what did we do to deserve this?" And that's kind of the same thing that he and I both learned a long time ago. Nobody's ever, it's never a given. If it's a given, it's going to be taken away at some point in time.
Yep, that's right. You know, I've read so many tributes that have been written about Charlie Daniels, but the one that touched me the most was where you said that you had lost your daddy. How shall we remember the great Charlie Daniels today?
It would have to be the fact that he was, without a doubt, the most calmest person in the dilemma. Lord knows we had dilemmas. He was very calm, straightforward, had a lot of people protecting his back. And I learned a lot from him for that reason. But Charlie was a man's man. He wasn't one of these guys that says, "Okay, well, we don't have that many in the stands up there tonight. We're still sold out, but we don't have that many in the stands." We'd always laugh about that, Charlie and I, because, you know, in a rock and roll band or country band, no matter what, even when we played the Grand Ole Opry, Charlie or his wife sent flowers over to the Grand Ole Opry the first time I was ever invited there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We were a rock and roll band, and Charlie was more of a country person, but yet at the same time, we crisscrossed each other. As far as any one sentence that I can say for him, there is not one sentence that I can say of my honor and blessing that I've got to know Charlie. He is a man's man, and everybody knows what that is. That's a man.
Yep.
You get up there. If you're sick or not, you still get up there and play your ass off, and then you walk off, and then you start complaining. You know, to yourself. if you got a cold, you lean it to somebody else. Many times did we get up there and he'd say, "Man, you want to do the second part of this song?" I'd, "Oh, yeah, I will." And because he just wasn't feeling good that day, or we all went through this thing. Bands are not made out of steel.
Nope.
Or concrete. No, none of us are. And so if somebody falls or somebody has an opportunity to switch around, there was times that Charlie didn't have enough time to make the next gig that was booked for us, so we would let Charlie go on, and then we would go on. You know, those kind of things are important, and I don't know if I can express it to you that the right way in the smaller amount of time that we got. We couldn't make a flight the next morning or had to get up at like 3:00, and the show was running a little bit late, and there was five bands on it. And so Charlie said, "Well, y'all just go ahead." And, he wouldn't say just go ahead and not play. He'd just say, "Why don't you take this spot? Why don't you take that spot? And then you go out there and you play your butt off, and then y'all get out so you can make a play." And, those are just one of the many things that I could talk about. There's not one thing that you can say for Charlie and his relationship with everyone. Hazel was a blessed woman to have Charlie, and Charlie was a blessed man to have Hazel and Charlie Jr., okay?
Mm-hmm.
The road crew adored him and admired him just like they did with us. Their whole band and crew would come out and stand on the side of the stage. Of course, Charlie wouldn't always. But the the band and the crew, which every time that we'd open show, regardless if we were the third band up or the fourth band or the last band, they would always stay. And then you'd see those buses creep out, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, that's just respect. He was the most respected man that I know in this business that we're in right now, when this business that we're in has so many ups and downs where nobody can keep you on the top. It's the public that does that. And you can have down moments and then you can have up moments. But Charlie and I seem to just float along with it, just like we was a canoe on a river somewhere. We just float around with it, wait for our time to come, and then we get up here and bust ass.
I love it. You have so much respect for him and always will. And it really brings to mind that something that we try to do here, and that's to talk about mentors. And Doug, you are a mentor to so many people that you don't even know, because your music, people will sing along with your music just like you did against that jukebox in the 50s and 60s. And if you were to give advice today to young musicians that are out there, and even songwriters, what would you tell them today in terms of how to write lyrics and a great story so people will, you know, be brought up and kind of more positive and optimistic as a result of wonderful music?
Well, in my book, there's several songs that I could tell you about, Marshall Tucker songs. Toy Caldwell wrote them. I always told him, and there was one that I wrote. It was called "I Should Have Never Started Loving You." Mm. It was reality. It was right about reality. If you're in a band, make sure make it simple enough where you can understand, so the people can understand it, so you can relate it to them if you're singing it to them. I Should Have Never Started Loving You is one, but then In My Own Way is probably an anthem for us. Forget Can't You See. You know, we're very proud that song's been played like 10 million times on the radio and movies. We're very proud of that. I am for Toy, and I know his daughters and stuff. And I mean, you know, these people, everybody's getting a little bit older, so you have to look out for each other. And the more people that look out for each other, and especially the musicians, write a song that matters. I'm continuously writing a song, and one of them is Mom Must Have Been a Jukebox, because she played me every different kind of song that there was, you know. Yeah. And I've been writing it. That's a country song, you know, because it has to be country, because it's talking about another part of reality that I've never even thought about until I started doing these memories of Charlie and stuff like that. You know as well as I have that I've done probably 400 interviews talking about how much I had respect for Charlie. I want people to understand what kind of person he really, really is and was and always will be to me.
Mm-hmm. I really appreciate that. You bring up the topic of a man's man, and believe it or not, Doug, I think that there's some youngsters in our audience who don't know what a man's man is. And I got into an argument the other day with somebody about, you know, what a man's man was in my life growing up in the 50s and 60s. For those youngsters who have never heard that term, maybe because they've been on the planet Mars, tell them what a man's man is from your perspective.
Well, first of all, let me just explain it this way. There's a woman's woman, okay? That's learned to respect everything and everybody around them, okay?
Yep.
That's the same thing, okay? There's people that love each other that might not understand it, might not understand anything that's going on with it. But man-man and man-man, it's the same thing. And woman-woman, it's the same thing. It's mutual respect of each other and who you are and how you believe and what you believe. God knows we all are sorted out, or we wouldn't be living the way we are right now. Mm-hmm. We're kind of blessed in a world of turmoil. And being blessed in a world of turmoil, as you're seeing this, you know, I normally wouldn't talk about this, but you see, you know, hey, I went to Vietnam. I fought beside black guys and Japanese guys and stuff like that, okay? A lot of different people. And some of the strong ones, where the guys, not just man is the wrong word, I guess. There's such a thing as masterful embodiment. Okay, I think he was a guy, Jordan, is a guy that has a masterful aura around him, if I can say that. And most women that I know, I tell you what right now, I like women working with me and through me because they're so efficient, so dedicated, forever loving, and they will never change. They never change. Even if you say, okay, I got to let you go, you know, things, you know, start working out. You know, I go and help people look for other jobs if that happens to me. But being a rarity and saying the man's man thing is just a term that we used to use a long time ago. Being a man's man is a tough guy. You think of, God knows, if you've seen some of the old pictures, and Marshall Tucker being in the old pictures of Charlie Daniels Band. We'd walk into a Howard Johnson's or a restaurant anywhere. Thank goodness there weren't any, you know, really crazy people. But we'd go walking into a place like that after being on in a van going down the road for 20 hours. We'd walk into a hotel, and we didn't command respect. They were afraid of us. And that was the shock, you know. It's like going to the Northeast and, you know, when you go to the Northeast, they didn't have sweet tea until probably Charlie and myself went up there and started saying, "You guys going to make some sweet tea." You know, it's that simple. Like, you know, people have said that many times. People have asked me, "Well, you're the ones that brought sweet tea to you know, the Northeast."
To the North. Yeah.
So, you know what? Isn't that funny? I mean, I know I'm jumping around a lot, but there's so much to cover and so many, the man's man thing is just a term, okay? It's a term that doesn't say Black Lives Matter, doesn't mean anything like that, or that you're a weak man, or that you're handicapped, you have a disabled, you're disabled. Doesn't mean any of that. What that is a man that you look up to and have respect for because they're doing their job, and you always have, they've had respect for you, and you've had respect for them, and that goes with women, too.
You know, you made me think of my own brother-in-law, Rick Key, who flew choppers in Vietnam. He was really a man's man. He was a man of integrity, always doing what was right and keeping his promises.
And you just answered that question for your audience. You did. That question that you asked me, you just answered it because of him. Because his integrity, you build integrity on how you treat people through your life.
That's
songwriters
right.
Can build integrity on that kind of stuff. And you know what? You may not ever understand what I'm saying now. Some people may, and some people may not. A lot of people have said I've given words of wisdom in a lot of different ways. But that's not my job. My job is to get up on the stage and make people feel comfortable and make them forget it for an hour and a half to 2 hours and let them forget about having to make a payment on that brand new pickup truck. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I want them to forget that. I don't want them to have to say, "Oh my God, I got to go to work for this 4 hours just because of this." But also, when I say going to work for a couple hours, you got to understand the 20 hours it took to get there and 20 hours it takes to get to the next gig.
So, that's right.
So if you try to put these things together like that, gosh, where is the ending? The ending won't be with me because there's always somebody. You know, my nephew works with Zach Brown is Clay Cook. Okay, he's a short guy that plays just about every instrument. Okay, and he has been since the beginning. And he looks at me and goes, "Papa Doug," and I mean, he's my nephew, and he calls me about every little thing that they have any kind of different thoughts about, not the band. The future. How should I do this to make it better for everybody?
Mm-hmm.
I sure would appreciate the fact that the show could make it better for everybody and go out there. And if you've got to hug somebody, go hug them and just say, it don't matter how big they are or how small they are or what color they are, does not matter because none of us getting out of this earth or away from this earth unless you. Gosh, that's pretty heavy.
It's sometimes I get a little too heavy like that. None
That's
of us
right.
are getting out of this earth by ourselves. And
right.
We don't need money. We don't need fame. And sometimes the way to hide from fame is to go out and buy you an island somewhere. And, you know, mine is getting away from my two kids and my two grandkids and coming down to the beach and staying and living. And then I go back up to my other house in Spartanburg, South Carolina. And you know what? I don't have a pickup truck. That's what's freaky. Everybody asks me, so where's your pickup truck? I'm like, oh, man, I sold it. It was a 55 Chevrolet pickup truck. I sold it.
Oh, no.
I'm mad. I know.
Yeah.
It was nice. But I've been thinking about getting another one. And
make sure it's a 55.
Well, God, if it – no, I take a 58, too. You know, I mean, it doesn't matter to me. But I got that one. It was, you'd love this, $250. The guy never took it out of the peach orchard. That's what he did. He used that pickup truck as a family thing.
Ah.
He used that one pickup truck to go pick up the peaches boxes and take them to the stand up on the, at the curb stand.
Perfect.
And I say $250. Yeah. Oh, hey, who are you telling? I don't think it had 7,000 miles on it.
Wow.
Of course, I jumped right all over that. And it was George McCorkle's father-in-law.
Oh, my
and
God.
I went, yeah, I'm taking that thing home. It had never
now.
Been driven more than 50 miles an hour. And I ended up giving it to one of my after I fixed it all up and repainted it and did the interior and dotted the glasses and stuff on the inside. And I made them dark. Actually, I made them silver, I think. I'm not sure. Put baby moons all over that sucker. And it looked sharp going down the road. Then I give it to my daddy, and he passed away, and I had it back. Then it's sitting in the yard, and I had two or three other vehicles up there. And, Daryl said, man, that's a good-looking truck. And I said, Daryl, you doing some work for me? He's my crew guy. Not Bigfoot, but he's my crew guy. But I don't know if you've seen that commercial or not.
Yes, I have.
The guy go commercial. Okay, there you go. But, gosh, nobody plays with me anymore. My name's not really Bigfoot. It's Daryl. I'm like, they're listening like Bigfoot to us. But, I gave that to him because he was doing such a good job on whatever he was doing around the house for me when we were off for a couple of weeks. And
Man, you've got to find you another peach truck if it exists.
If I find one, I'm going to have it already worked on. You know, I like working on them, but at the same time, peach trucks are hard to find these days because, I mean, you know, South Carolina is actually the peach state now.
It is.
We grow more peaches than Georgia does. And
yeah.
I think that's hilarious. But
I love that.
You know, that's just weird. You know, it's just the way the ball fell, you know, whenever people started buying properties and stuff like that and building houses out on the farmland and things happen. My daddy worked in cotton mill for almost 25 years, you know, and worked at night, come home in the morning and, you know, got us up and kicked my butt out the house and sent me on to school, you know.
I want to remind everybody that, Doug, you're going to be on T. Graham Brown's Live Wire on Sirius Radio doing a tribute to Charlie Daniels this month, honoring your daddy. And we hope everyone tunes in to listen to that. I have one final question for you regarding longevity. I've been in bands for over 50 years playing drums. What is the secret to longevity in the music industry and keeping a band together?
First of all, you got to listen to people in your band. Okay. That's what longevity means. You're adapting and you're constantly adapting to everybody that's in your band. You want to listen to them as if they're the biggest person out there on that stage, because if you please them, and you know, everybody I hired, this is a different way to say it. Everybody that I have hired, most of these guys have been with me 25 years. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, except for one guy and his bass player, and Ryan's played in Nashville for hundreds of different people that we would know. And, I just tell them, I said, look, learn the song the way that we played it a long time ago. You know, the way that we're playing it now, listen to the tapes, that's what the last bass player was there doing. then if you decide, and I look over at you and you're playing your butt off, then play hard, because that way people will remember you. The longevity part is never wanting to be a star. Don't care about that. That's not something you want to do. Being a drummer, I can see your insecurities. It's okay. Okay. Hey, you know, you've heard this before, I'm sure, being a drummer, that's the only way that you can park in a handicap place slot anymore at the mall. Okay. you put your drumsticks on the dash and they let you have a pass. That's all it is, you know. But I got a million of those. We don't want to go. But no, just being a part of, if you're going to be in a band, just don't ever want to be a star, because, you know, there's not, I don't know too many stars out there, especially with a star. Frank Sinatra was a star, and I didn't know either one of those. But as today goes, who will you be interviewing in 25 years? I think it'll be Charlie from Black Bear Smoke or Zach Brown. Okay. Mm-hmm. And only because their hearts are in the right place. They're not being directed by their management and stuff like that to have a foundation where you take care of kids, you know. They're not being directed that way. Even now, to this day, I get to many, many, many charities to them to talk about. Of course, the veterans as well. And you don't need to be a star. You know, people ask me, come up and do this, and you'll make our thing better. Well, that doesn't necessarily stand true. You know, I know what I do. You know, learn to play the piano. Yeah, I sucked at it. You know, I was not that good, and I heard somebody really play, and I really knew I sucked. You know, don't try to be a star. Just get up there and work with the people you got. Work as hard as you can. If one of them falls out, then they'll fall out on their own. You ain't going to have to fire them or let them go. They'll know they can't stick up with you.
Man, that's great advice, Doug. Hey, thank you for being on our Legends show. I'd love for you to close out our show by singing a line from Heard It in a Love Song.
I ain't never been with a woman long enough for my boots to get old. We've been together so long now, then for nearly so. And the best part, if I ever settle down, you'll be my kind, and it's a good time for this boy to head on down the line.
Well, thank you, man. You are the greatest. See you on the road in the coming months. That was Doug Gray. Thank you, Doug.
All right, brother. You take care. Always come up and say hello, okay?
We appreciate Doug Gray being on our Legends show today, and we appreciate our sponsorship, Blinkist.com.
So let me tell you a little bit about Blinkist. Blinkist is the most useful app on my phone. It's really hard to find time to sit down and read and learn more. And when you don't have free time, you can't read or work on personal development. There's this incredible app that solves this problem, and I highly recommend it. It's called Blinkist. Blinkist is really unique. It works on my iPhone, and it could work on your tablet or web browser as well. Blinkist takes the best key takeaways, the need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books, and condenses them into just 15 minutes that you can read or listen to. Successful people, like business leaders, are well known for reading lots of books, and Blinkist is made for busy people like you who want to get the main points of a book quickly so you can start using that information right away. And with its audio feature, Blinkist makes it easy to finish a book during your commute, or lunch break, or while you exercise. There's 12 million plus people using Blinkist right now, and it's got a growing library of self-help, business, health, history books. And you can go to Blinkist.com to see some of the latest titles. I like Blinkist because listening to some of the most popular books that I just haven't found time to get to, including Alexander Hamilton by Ron Chernow and Super Thinking by Gabe Weinberg. Two great books. So right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. You can go to Blinkist.com/success and try it free for 7 days and save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, Blinkist.com/success to start your free 7-day trial today. Give it a shot. You will love microburst learning from Blinkist.
Hey, thanks again for joining us on Success Made to Last Legends series. I'm Rick Tokini. If you enjoyed the show, give us some feedback, and you can go to successmadetolast.com. And on our contact page, just put in your comments about how much you love this show. And if you'd like a little dose of wit and wisdom, opt in for our newsletter. You'll get that every Sunday night, and we hope that you will enjoy that as well. Hey, as we always say here at Success Made Last, may you live the best version of you. Have a great week.
Took my family away from my Carolina home. Had dreams about the West.